I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. There were so many robocalls here in New England last night that the phone system crashed. Today, the Morning Call newspaper in Allentown, Pennsylvania says high turnout is shocking poll workers. In one precinct, 66 people voted in the first 45 minutes. And across the country, a third of the votes are already in. There are about 16 million early votes, a record. That's just a snapshot of where we are at the end of a very long road to the midterms. Longtime listeners know we don't like to talk about candidates on election day. We feel it's not fair. I know. How quaint. But we know Republicans need 39 seats to take over the House, 10 to take the Senate. Polling shows Republicans will take the House. But polling guru Nate Silver gives Democrats a glimmer of hope for holding on to it. He points out pollsters don't talk to people who have cell phones, so the polls could be off. So, how to watch the returns to figure out what's going on tonight. Michael Shear is chief political reporter for the New York Times. Michael, we'll link to your viewing guide at hereandnow.org. But you say start with Kentucky at 6 p.m. Why?
They're the first ones where the polls were closed. And so, of course, you know, as we go through election night, we'll get a little bit of a taste there of both some of the House races and, of course, the Senate race there, all of which have been closely watched and might give us an early clue as to whether or not this Republican wave that everybody expects is going to be huge or is maybe going to be a little bit less than folks think. As you say, the Republicans need 39. One thing to note is that we may get to that 39 magic number long before the night is up.
Well, in fact, just so sketch for us, they need 39 to take the House. It's expected they will. Go on from there. Is 65 a good night for them? Do they need 70 to make it the tsunami?
Well, I think, you know, you've seen in the last couple of days that the Republican leadership in Washington has begun to try to kind of tamp down expectations,
right?
Because it had been rising to a level where people might say, geez, you only won 50 seats or you only won 55. I think if they take the House, that's a victory. If they get a significant number more than that, that'll be, you know, icing on the cake. The other question, though, is, of course, the Senate, you know, and that's what everybody's watching. It's not expected that the Republicans will actually win the 10 seats they need to take control of the Senate. But, you know, a wave is a wave. And, you know, by the end of the night, we might be there.
So what are the toss-up states to watch to keep an eye on the Senate seats?
Well, the Senate seats you want to watch are Illinois, West Virginia, Nevada, Washington State, Colorado. Those are the ones where the polls have indicated it's either literally tied, it's one person ahead one or down one. If, as you go through the night, you see those starting to fall in the Republican column, you'll know that the Republicans are going to get closer and closer to that magic number of 10.
Well, everybody's also looking forward to 2012. And you write the president's future might be determined by a handful of governor's races. Now we know the governors largely handle redistricting, you know, who gets what seats in Congress, right, and guiding their states toward the 2012 election. So where should we look for governor's races?
Republicans are very optimistic that they're going to pick up a bunch of governor's seats. They're likely, for example, to win in New Mexico, a state that Barack Obama won in 2008. But really keep an eye on two states which are just crucially important for the president's reelection effort, Florida and Ohio. The Democrats are fighting like crazy to try to win the governorships in both of those states. If they can, that'll be a signal, and you'll hear the president at his news conference tomorrow talk about those two states as a real sort of counter to the other more negative news for him.
How about the Tea Party? You write that newly elected Tea Party candidates could be forming a caucus as soon as tomorrow. But what might stand in their way?
The way that you're going to take sort of assess the success of the Tea Party is not going to be just in raw numbers. It's also going to be in some of these high-profile candidates in Delaware and in Colorado and in Alaska. There's been a real fight with a Tea Party candidate. And so there will be a real question among the Republican leadership at the end of the night. Was the Tea Party movement good for the Republican Party or bad for the Republican Party? And if a lot of them lose, especially in some of these key Senate races, there's going to be a conclusion drawn by some of the Republicans that, boy, we might have been actually able to take the Senate had it not been for some of these races.
And, of course, the other question is, were the Tea Party candidates good or bad for Sarah Palin and her, looking at the 2012 potential presidential run? So keep an eye on her handpicked candidates as well. Just give us one last, you know, thought. Benchmarks as the evening goes on, 8:30, 9, 10. What are we looking for?
Look for Nevada. It'll be late because it's on the West Coast, but, you know, that's really one of the marquee Senate races is in Nevada. And if by the time we reach Nevada, the Republicans have not retaken the Senate, it's probably likely that they won't. If you can stay up as late as when the Nevada returns come in, then you're a real a real political trooper.
Well, then that would be us. Michael Scheer, chief political reporter for The New York Times. Again, we'll link to your timeline in the paper today. Michael, thank you.